an auction train. They arrived in 1862 in Cove. And it was great-grandfather and grandfather. Grandfather was a young man at that time, and grandmother carried one baby on her lap across the plain. Aunt Mary was 13, and she walked all the way. And I remember that after I was a little older, that there was a buffalo overcoat and a buffalo robe that we had that we used.
And who was your great grandmother or grandmother? Do you have the names?
My father's mother was Martha Murphy before she married Grandpa Bloom.
And what was his first name?
Samuel. They just called him Sam always.
Then what was there? Aunt Mary was 13, and then what was there, one more child then?
Oh, there was a lot of children, a lot of. Grandfather, great-grandfather, had lost his first wife, and he had 7 children by her. And he brought all of them, and he had married again, and he had 15 altogether. So by the second wife, Grandma Charity, I remember, because she lived with that many when I was growing up. I don't know how old I was when Grandma Charity died. She was not my real great grandmother, you know.
Right.
She was the second wife of Grandpa Louis Bloom.
That would be your great-grandfather.
That'd be my great-grandfather, great-grandfather Louis Bloom. And he brought his whole family, which was 15 children, and there were 8 by his second wife.
Had a whole wagon train of their own, right?
Yes, they really did. And I know that they square danced sometimes when they stopped at night, because Grandpa could call square dancing. And I think great-grandfather must have been the head of the wagon train, because I don't know how many more there were in this train, but I don't see how they need more than that. Do you?
Do you remember where they came from?
Ohio.
Started Ohio.
And they brought some Kentucky saddler horses, and Morgan's, and a big, heavy black team that I've heard them talk about. But they never put them in the yoke with the oxen. One of the oxen died someplace along the way, and they put in one of the milk cows. They brought milk cows for the children. And so they put the milk cow in, and she had to pull her share rather than a horse. They weren't going to let anything happen to the horses, because they were going to use them when they got here.
Did they ride horses to drive the others?
Some of them did.
Okay.
Some of them rode horses. And, of course, they had scouts and everything like that, you know. I had to have all those things.
Then on your grandmother and grandfather, how many children did they have?
Grandpa Sam had,
there
were 3 boys and 2 girls. That was 5.
Then what was your father's name?
Will.
Boy's name? Wow.
William.
William.
They called him Bill. And after he grew be a young man, he and my Uncle Pete, his younger brother, went to the Cornucopia Mines and worked for money to attend school to become doctors and dentists. One was going to be a doctor and the other a dentist. And they also worked at Sanger, or my father did. Because W.J. Townley was running it then, and he remembered my father.
That was the car, the Sanger mine that he ran. And what was your mother's name?
Cora Van Schoonover.
Was it C-O-R-A? And then
V-A-N. S-C-H-O-O-N. H-O-V-E-N. Her grandfather was from Pala.
Oh, yeah.
And
where did they meet?
Well, someplace in the east. I know the family went from New York to Ohio first, of course.
No, so they were married then when they came. She came out with your father then on that, by the wagon train.
My mother?
Yes.
No, my mother and father weren't married then. They hadn't met. She was just a girl when she came. But when she came, the railroad had come through and went past down here at the Union Junction. And they chartered a car, and the whole family and all the furniture and everything they wanted to bring with them was in this car. And they lived there on the way out here from South Dakota. My mother came from South Dakota. She was born in Wisconsin. And there was, she had four sisters and one brother.
I remember what year she came out?
Well, they came to Union first and lived here a short while. And I can't tell you, but it must have been 18, well, I can't tell you. But it wasn't
the railroad was probably about 1873 or something.
Something like that. Something like that. And after they came because of grandfather's health, I think he had heart trouble or something, and the doctor back there, he was a merchant. He had a store there. And then that doctor told him that he thought his health would be better out here in the West. So they sold the store and moved out here. And I remember grandmother going back after he died to try to collect. So many owed that store, but they left. He didn't live too long after that. They moved to Cole first and bought a place there. And that's where she met my father. And the girls were just young girls then, you know. And
do you remember your mother and your father when they were born, by chance?
My father was born in 1864 in the first log house that was built in Cove. They hurried and built that in time for him to be born in this house. And it is, well, just a short distance out of what you'd call town now. And
that's one coming back towards Union? That's where that location was?
There's still some posts there where the spring was.
Oh.
So they won't drive into it now. But they tore the barn down. No, the barn burned down. I think somebody tore the house down for the log. But then there were houses back farther that some of the Conleys bought. And let's see, what was, I can't remember the name of the Conley that lived there, since when Donna was working in LeGrand, he came in there. And I asked him where he lived, and he says, well, you ought to know, I live on one of the old Bloom places. And I didn't know where he lived. But it was back in there where Aunt Mary lived. She married a man by the name of Wagner later, and she lived back in there someplace. And there's There may still be a log building back there. I saw it. I remember going back there and seeing it. But it's changed hands many times since then, you know, where Aunt Mary lived. She had an old horse she called Rattler. And she used to drive up to our place with a buggy. And she'd say, "Well, Willie, will you go out and take care of old Rattler? I'm going to stay all day." And she'd stay all day, and he'd cut her hair, and she'd sit in the high chair with Mama's apron around her and tell us funny things that happened on the way across the plains coming to Oregon. And, you know, I paid very little attention. You know, it didn't mean anything to me. I was just playing around there, you know.
Yeah, too bad I didn't have recorders of that.
Oh, wouldn't that have been wonderful? She knew so many things. You know, when you're that age, you remember all these things. My cousin came up here to visit from California, and he told me, later years, came here to this house to visit, and he told me that one of the boys in that whole group, that family, disappeared. They thought the Indians had picked him up.
Oh, on the trail?
On the Oregon Trail to go.
Do you know what they started out in 1862 and then...
No, they started earlier than that. It took them quite a while.
But they got here in 1862.
Yeah, they arrived in 62. Yes, they arrived there in 62.
Remember anything about where they located then? Because it was 1864 when they built the log cabin. That's when your father
was born,
but they built the cabin right away, did they, when they got here?
Well, I think they... just as quick as they could.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Okay.
And I can remember my father saying that they used to climb up on the roof of it and watch the Indians go by. And eventually... he traded something to Chief Indian Yellow Feather for an Indian pony he wanted. And there they had those good horses, you know. He wanted an Indian pony, so he traded for that Indian pony something, I don't know what. But anyhow, when my grandmother became very ill, he'd ride that Indian pony to Le Grand to get that doctor that was living there then, and he would drive his buggy and bring his wife and come out, and they'd stay all night and take care of grandmother before they went back. And her daughter was Mrs. Burney. You know, the early...
Let's see, Misko, when were you born?
In 1898.
Do you have a date? What day or month?
Yes, September the 15th.
1898. And that was in Cove?
Yes. In the Ascension grounds down there, where they now have the church school, there was a big house back in the grove, a big white house, and my parents lived there when I was born. And my father didn't like doctors because in those days you apprenticed under an old doctor. And that old doctor did some kind of funny things. And he said, "Well, you know, I'm just not going to do that," because now he had his Latin. He was all set. And he said, "I'm not going to do that way. I'll just go back to farming." And he did.
Well, he went to school then. To be a medical doctor.
Yes.
Whereabouts did he go?
I can't tell you that. I just don't know. And Uncle Pete became a dentist, all right. And he was located in Nampa at first and then Boise. Years and years he was a dentist. Used to go up there and get our teeth fixed or cleaned or whatever. He used to come to our place in the summertime.
But after he got, then your dad came right back to Cove then, and then he went to farming.
Yes, he went back on the Minim and established the horse ranch and lived back there. He built a little cabin back there and lived there one whole winter. And he had his dog, two dogs, and his books, and lived there a whole winter just like that, by himself. And he said there was places where the snow was 30 feet deep that winter.
Remember what year that was?
Can't tell you. Just don't know. But nobody knew about the horse ranch till long after that.
So then he just spent the rest of his life there farming and cold?
Yes, we lived on a farm. We had everything on it that you could think of, you know. We had orchard, and we had cows, and we raised pigs and chickens and everything on earth in the garden. We had an ice house and a meat house and a root cellar and all those kind of things. And
were they milk cows that you had there?
Both. Well, he always raised some beef. He always butchered pigs, and in fact, after my mother and father were married, he and Joe Trapeer, well, let's leave the Joe Trapeer name out, but he and another man owned the meat market there, and he had beef cattle. And when the beef cattle were all gone, the partnership broke up. It wasn't a...
Not an even partnership.
That ended it. And anyway, that man's son was a great friend of my father. She thought the world of my dad, and he became a veterinarian in Walla Walla. And he wrote the nicest letters to my father after all those years, and such nice memories he'd say, you know, things he'd write about in those letters, and how wonderful he thought he was and everything, you know. But if we were sick or anything, us kids, my mother never had to think about that because my father always took care of us. He knew exactly what was wrong with us.
Yes,
and he just, if you had a sliver or whatever, he was right there. And any accidents, he knew exactly how to take care of them.
What about cold? Do you remember just a description of cold, what it was like
yes.
when you were growing up?
Yes.
Kind of what size was it?
Well, it was about like Union. It had, I remember there was a hotel. It had wooden sidewalks, and it had a post office, and in that post office was a drugstore also. And there was a man by the name of Jasper Stevens, who was the postmaster. And he made a lot of money somehow. I don't know. He said he's going to be a millionaire, and I guess he did eventually become one because he never spent a penny. We had large strawberry patches and a packing shed, and we'd have women come over and pack. You know, they'd fill and face.
Oh, that shipping out by railroad then?
No, we didn't ship. We sold them.
Oh, just locally.
Locally, LeGrand and all over, and people bought strawberries. And we had, of course, everything else, too. And since my father had been in the meat market, we had that wonderful meat house with the big planks on two sides and all the hams and bacons and everything hanging in there, you know. And it was double-walled and everything. And, of course, we butchered the beef in the wintertime. The pork was cured. And there was a smokehouse. And just right next to it was a bin where all the grain was stored were using for the stock, and he raised horses.
Where did he get the ice for the ice house?
Frozen River.
Cut it?
Yes. He'd take the team and go down to the river with saws.
Was that the Grand Ron?
Uh-huh. And other men would go too, and of course the water was pure, you see, in those days. And they went down there, and they would saw these big chunks of ice. The ice house was built with boards on the outside and on the inside, and all of that was filled with sawdust in between. I don't know whether it was 8 or 10 inches or what, but sawdust in there. Because there were small mills all over the mountains, you know, where they were cutting timber and sawing boards and everything, you know. And there was a ladder that went up the outside, and then a little door that you could go inside and down the ladder to the ice as summer went on, you know. And those men would go down there. It wasn't the only ice house in Cove. But anyway, I was going to say, we really were self-sufficient. There was a mill there in Cove. And over the hill, my father would go with a sack of corn and have it ground for cornmeal. And we had a barrel of flour and all this cornmeal and all whole wheat flour and anything and everything all ready for winter every year, you know. And
did you have to go, or as far as anything else that, you know, you wanted from outside, whereabouts did you shop?
Catalogs. Or LeGrand.
Yeah.
Once in a while we'd go to LeGrand. When I was old enough, when I was in high school, we'd go to LeGrand and get my school clothes.
How did you travel?
And my brothers. Oh, the wagon or hack or buggy, whatever. Always the horses.
Oh, was that all just dirt road at that time?
Oh, yes. Or snow.
Or snow in the wintertime.
Didn't make any difference. We went anyway, you know. And there was one time I remember my Uncle Pete saying he rode all the way, rode in a rowboat all the way to LeGrand. So you see, they had a flood sometimes. And then, well, I was going to tell you about the stores. First was a post office on the west side and the drugstore. And Doc Ramsell, we called him, was the druggist when I was going to school. And then there was Dave Lane's department. Now, that store had one section with stools in front of it for the dry goods department. Then it had the grocery store on the other side in the same room. And then you went through a door, and on the other side was shoes and dishes and all that kind of hardware. And the sidewalk was raised quite a bit. You know, the wooden sidewalk was level all along, and it was raised quite a bit in front of Dave Lane's store until it leveled down. And there was always a hitching rack there where the saddle horses and the horses they drove in were hitched to the railing. And so there was always horses along there. Then there was a bank. State Bank. There was a jail. There was a blacksmith shop. There was a barber shop. And there was Trapeer's Hall above the meat market and things like that down there. And then there was another little store. Now that was all on the south side. On the north side of the street was the ice cream parlor, and by the way, that was homemade ice cream too. And
how many flavors did they have, or do you remember?
No, you put chocolate over your vanilla,
and
And in the summertime, when there was fruit, it was those flavors. You know, whatever.
Yeah, it's not like the 87 flavors.
Not like the 87 flavors at all. But we were satisfied. We were just as happy as though we had anything else.
It tastes a lot better.
Yeah. And, of course, if a boy said, would you like to go and have a dish of ice cream, that was really something. Because they didn't have much money to spend. I think I went to school probably all my school years that I went there without ever having taken a penny or a purse with me. You took your lunch, and you all ate together in a group, you know, and laughed and talked, and then you played baseball or whatever. And the superintendent we had didn't think girls ought to play basketball. It was not a girls' game. And he was real... We could go down to Pierce Hall, which was down, they had a big hall down the street, not on the main street, off of Main Street, a block or two, and that was the Maccabee Hall, and there is where they danced, and there's where they played basketball and all those things, all those kind of activities went on in that building.
What was Trapeer's Hall used for?
Well, dances and whatever.
You just picked out two dance
halls. That's right. And
remember about how big Cove was or how many people?
Can't tell you a thing about that. Most of them just came in from out in the country, you know, they farmed. Everybody farmed in those days, you know, except the druggist and the banker and the few people that were running the business in town. The rest of them were all farmers. That's the way they made their living. As far as I know, there was never any real estate men or never anybody like that, you know. It was just, you know, and everybody knew everybody. And you started to school with the same group you graduated from high school with.
Now, do you remember how many students were in the school, roughly, or in your class?
I forget whether it was 7 or 9 boys and I think 4 girls.
That was in your class, right? What was the, all the grades together in the one school?
Well, yes, the lower, one schoolhouse.
Yeah, one school.
And the lower grades, you know, downstairs and the upper grades upstairs.
When did they usually start school?
In September, of course, always.
I mean, what age were the kids?
Oh, at, well, we were 6.
About 6 years old.
We, now they did have that little kindergarten down in the house where I was born, in the downstairs part of it, when I was 5. And I went to kindergarten with all the... Thank you. mother and three girls when this picture was taken in 1914.
That's
in my class.
That was then. What about your sophomore year? Was it?
That was my freshman class.
Your freshman class.
Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There was one more girl in our class. I wonder why she wasn't in there.
They pretty well all stayed together, did they?
Oh, yes. We all graduated together. We were just like brothers and sisters. We all went to Sunday school together. Here's some more of Morehouse's pictures. Here's the squad that's 115. And, yes, we all went to school together.
What was it like, say, in the early years of school, or, through there, what did you do compared to, how school changed of the lessons, or how you kept busy, or entertainment at school, or whatever?
We didn't have much entertainment at school. We had what we called a giant swing, and a recess, and the rest of the time at noon, we'd swing in the giant swings, and it was a hub of a wagon up on a very high post, and ropes that came down, and the ropes with a loop in them, and we'd set in those, and somebody'd swing us, and we'd go right out and level with the post, if anything had happened to that, we'd all be dead.
Anybody fall off?
Never that I know of. And we used to have an awful lot of fun. We'd go, when I was little, we'd go and set in those things. First thing you know, some of the big boys from high school would come along, and they'd each one grab a kid, and away we'd go, and then swing us, and we'd go clear to the top, We just thought that was great. That was one entertainment we had. We played baseball an awful lot. And
was that at the school?
Yes, at the school grounds,
Is the school the same place as it is now?
Uh-huh.
Is it the same?
Mm-hmm. It's not the same building, but it's the same place. And we played all kinds of games that kids play. We didn't think we were missing anything.
What kind of games did you play back then?
Run, sheep, run. Can't remember. Just whatever we made up, I guess, more than anything. But the Alexanders and the Brazils and the Burfords all came through our place going to school. So I'd go up over the hill instead of going the other way, up over the hill and meet those kids. And we had a place. My father had built a place, a square hole in the fence, and put boards around it. And we'd crawl through that, and down the hill and over the mill race, we'd see old John Parker out there, tall and thin, with that white mustache just covered with flour, I thought he was wonderful. And we'd go over that mill race. I don't know how our folks let us run over that. And down the steps and past the mill and that way, past the blacksmith shop and up to school.
How far was that about?
Well, it was much farther than going the other way, but it was a lot more fun. So that was the way we went.
How long did it take you about to get to school?
Oh, we mostly ran, I suppose, 15, 20 minutes.
How did everybody else get to school?
Everybody walked.
All from the outside?
No.
Like that,
no. Now, the kids that went to Shanghai from out in the valley and the other small schools would come in for high school. And they had their other schooling in Red Pepper and Hard Scrabble and Shanghai and so forth.
Those are all the names of schools?
Yes.
Schools.
And the kids would go to school there till they were ready for high school. And then they'd come in to Cove, to high school. Well, when they were that old and came in, if they came from any distance, they came by horse and buggy, put their horses in the livery stable, took their music lessons of Mrs. Lay, and then came on up to school. That was the way they did it.
The livery stable in town.
Yes, there was a livery stable there. Right next to that bridge where you go back in toward the old mill there. And of course there was a railroad track in there when I was going to school. And
what was the name of the school?
Just Polk School.
Didn't have a big name.
No,
like the other.
No. I'll never forget when the superintendent said, now, if we have a baseball team, when we have a baseball team and a football team or anything, we should have some name. All the other schools are being called Tigers and Lions and everything, so Cove should have a name. So we decided it would be the Leopards right then and there. And that was voted on and decided.
That started.
And our baseball team just beat everybody. The Alexanders were just baseball-minded family, and they had enough in the family, with the exception of my brother who caught for them. And once in a while he'd use, I think, one of the oldest Brazil boy. And now there were 11 children in the Burford family, and there were, I'm sure there was that many Alexanders or more. And they all went to school through our place, you know. Winter, summer, snow, didn't make any difference, and they all walked.
Yep.
They walked from High Valley down in the cove to school, over the hill. And I can remember them picking paintbrushes and yellow bells and different things like that as spring came along and these things bloomed. They brought them to school. And one boy gave me some paintbrushes. Put it on my desk, and a big green worm crawled out. I just couldn't stand worms ever. I'll never forget that one. And we had ink wells. For years, we had ink wells in the seats, you know. And our pen laid in a little slot across the top of the desk, and then here was the ink well. And if a girl had long braids or long hair, it was so tempting if a boy sat behind her to dip her braid or some of her hair in his inkwell.
Use the brush.
just dip it in there for devilment.
What were the classrooms like?
Well, they'd usually have two grades in one room quite frequently.
What kind of subjects did you take? You
well, reading and writing and arithmetic. Spencerian writing didn't do me much good. I write terribly. And our arithmetic and our geography and our, and of course, as you go on into high school, all these other things, just like any school. You know, we finally went into geometry and all that kind of thing. We had Latin one year or two. And I've always thought that was a loss. Once in a while, you know what a name came from or what this means, but that's as much good as it's ever done me. And we had some very fine teachers. We had home economics. We had typing. We had all those kind of things after we got in high school, you know. But in the grade school, they always had spelling bees and ciphering bees, they called them. And I'll never forget how sharp some of those kids were in math. The teacher would go to the board and she would write four digits and a long problem to be added. So Giggs Alexander was in my class in school. And he was always so quiet, you know. Wouldn't have anything to say. If she asked him a question, yes, no. You know, just like that. That's all it was to him. And so she had him come up and do this addy. He just took the chalk and he just went, put down the answer just as quick as that. And she was surprised, of course. Of course, his math papers had been good, you see. But she had no idea that he was quick like that. So she sent two grades up and asked if they had a student that was could cipher down a student she had. So they sent somebody in, and he just went right ahead, just as easy as anything, and the kid couldn't begin to keep up with him. Finally, she sent to the high school, and she asked the superintendent, and I believe that was Mr. Coughlin. I'm not sure he was still there at that time, but he was when I was in the first grade. And I used to read to him when he'd come down. He'd take me on his lap, have me read to him. He took an interest in every single child in school. And so, oh, I thought he was wonderful. And Maud Reese taught over there, too. And Eva Wilson. We always called her Miss Emma. And the Wilsons were early settlers, you know. And so they sent somebody down from the high school, and they couldn't begin to keep up with him. He was just a whiz in it. And you would never have known it, you know, as far as he was concerned. You never would say a word, you know. He always sat there just like a stone image, you know, in class. Never a word out of him unless he just had to. But he was a pretty good guy, just the same. And, of course, then I think we had a real good growing up time. We didn't worry about war. We didn't worry about anything like that. We just went home, and we didn't take home a lot of bookwork. We didn't carry a load of books home. If there was something we wanted to do, we just... And I don't ever remember of having any help. I just went home and did my work. But all kids were trained in those days to help mother and father. The boys helped dad, and the girls did things in the house. When we left the house in the morning for school, the beds were made, the dishes were done, the floors were clean. Everything was in order when we left the house for school in the morning.
Let's see, how many were in your family?
I had two brothers and one sister.
And what were their names?
Well, my oldest brother was Haskell. He was next to me. And we weren't very far apart. So we were pals for years. And then there was my sister Violet, 5 years younger. And then my brother Edward, who was 5 years younger than her. That's all there was in our family. There were two little boys that were lost almost at birth between my sister and Haskell.
But are you the oldest then?
I'm the oldest. Now, I was supposed to keep Haskell out of the mud and to keep his clothes, make sure he got home with his caps, his mittens, his boots, his shirt and everything, because he always had to stop and wrestle and do things. And so I was supposed to keep track of all of this and get him home in order.
Full-time job.
Full-time job is right. And I can remember my mother saying, Haskell, how come that Miss Cook can come home and she's not all mud and looking so terrible, and you come home and your shirt is torn and you've lost your cap and you've rolled in the mud? And she'd say, what happened to his cap? mostly I'd take it home or his coat or whatever, you know. He was always losing things because he couldn't be bothered with that kind of thing. He was so busy doing these other things.
What were some typical, like, breakfast, lunch, and dinner that you...
Oh, yes, we always had a good breakfast. My father usually made the biscuits. We had bacon or something like that, and eggs, and just fruit. My mother canned lots of fruit. We took our lunch with us to school, and it was just like any lunch would be nowadays. Maybe there'd be gingerbread, if there was gingerbread in the house, and there would be sandwiches, fruit, apple, or whatever. And we had little jars. We'd take canned fruit sometimes. And then we'd have dinner in the evening. We had meat, potatoes, and gravy, and, you know, just things like that. We didn't move. My mother made cakes and pies, and on Sunday the house would be full of kids. I'll never forget it. We'd all go to Sunday school, you know. We all went to the same place. And then here would be the whole gang up to our house.